If you would stand with me and join me standing to 1 Samuel chapter 17, if you turn with me there. It is good to be here today, and I appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate the hospitality and the just being here today. I appreciate Pastor Kidd, Ms. Kidd, and I just, I'm nervous as I'll get out, but I realize, look around this room, I'm not the young guy anymore. So I don't even know what that means now, so I shouldn't be nervous. I guess one pastor said this. He said, if you're nervous, you're not prepared. Another pastor said this, if you're not nervous, you're not prepared. So, I don't know what I am right now. I may be nervous, I don't know if I'm nervous. Whatever you want me to be, that's what I am. My name is Joel, you know, so that's what I'm working on. Anyway, 1 Samuel, chapter number 17, turn with me to verse number 28. And it says, Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mayest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Verse number 32 says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb, the lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Let's pray. Father, we do ask that you would just be upon the service this morning, God. We pray you continue just to watch, care, and guide over us, Lord. And God, we ask for your direction this morning. Lord, I do ask that you just free myself, Lord, my nerves and me, Lord, and just remove me from the equation. And Lord, we just ask that you would speak freely today. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be receptive. Lord, we ask that you just move upon us, that the Holy Spirit would have free reign this morning, we pray. We thank you for the time that we've shared in worship and music. Now, Lord, we pray we would just share it with our heart as we attentively listen to your word. In Christ's name we ask and pray these things. Amen. Amen. You be seated. Look at a couple things this morning, and when I was asked to preach, I said, Lord, you're just going to have to, again, be with me. And so today, I'm looking at this way. I'm going to act like I'm back in Bible Baptist Church in Parent Pines, Florida, and just act like you all are my home folk. And if you don't like that, then that's probably why you're not there. That's why you're here. But that's how I'm going to have to do it, or else I'm just going to pass out before it's all said and done. But someone said, are you ready? I said, it's the Lord's Word, and after the message last night, I tell you what, I couldn't have heard a better message for myself for this morning. I needed that message. But the verse of Mark comes continually to my mind, Lord, I believe, help now my unbelief. And I know that God's Word is sufficient. And I know that is where we stand, and that's all we can stand upon, and that's all we need to stand upon, and that's what we're going to do today by God's grace. A couple of things we'll look at this morning. We see in the setting here, I don't think that I need to paint the picture for you. I think we all know that Goliath was a large man. We all know the whole story. We know that David was a young, ruddy fellow. We know that David was a man that had a lot of obligations put on him, but also he also had a lot of looked down on by his brothers and those things, you know, the youngest and all that, how that goes with that. And I can look at it, actually, I'm the youngest of three boys, and, you know, they say the youngest, always the baby, always gets the easiest. It's not the easy road for the babies. If you're a baby in here, you know what I'm talking about. You know, they underestimate you. They always don't know if you can do this or that, and kind of your brothers or whoever take care of you and those things. But we see David was an underestimated individual. And the fact of the matter is, and God looks, and you look throughout the Word of God, and you know this part better than I do, but we realize that God continually, habitually uses those which the world underestimates. And I'm so thankful that the Lord says, I use the foolish things that confound them. I want to use something that is foolish something that in the world's eyes is unusable, and I'm going to use that to make the greatest difference. I'm going to use that to make a change in the world in which we live in. And we believe that David, there's no doubt that he was one of those vessels that was foolish in the sight. We read here in the text of his brother and how he looked upon David and questioned what his reasoning was, questioned his motives, questioned his heart, which we know the heart of David, regardless of what his brother said. God said his heart was like unto God's. Hallelujah. And regardless of what man may put on the labels there, I'm so thankful that if we're serving God, we are free from man's labels. I don't have to take on a label from man. I don't have to take on the things of men. That if I just serve God, I can be right before God, and God will bless it. And God will honor it. Now we see here that the first thing we have to understand, though, is to be able to serve God and be directed. I believe we see a strong instance in this text is that David had his faith on the right one. If you look at verse number 37, it says this. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. We see here that David had the kind of faith that remembered what God had done. A lot of times we have wavering faith. Wavering faith is faith that kind of forgets. Faith that kind of just changes with the directions of the wind. And I don't have to sit here and preach to you. I live in South Florida, and I've seen churches in the last 7 years that were the independent, fundamental stand post, if you will, of all kinds of faith, of all kinds of people look to say, I want to be like that. I've seen them join the Southern Baptist conventions. I've seen them drop Baptists off their names. I've seen them go to all that stuff. You've seen it too, and I don't have to sit here, and that's not what the message, that's why we're here today, but sometimes we get in our faith and we forget where we've come from. We have forgotten that what we once used to be, and that's a wavering faith. We see here that David did not forget the victory that was given to him was not because of him, but because who his faith was in. So many times it's so easy for us, if we're not careful, to get stuck in and forget the faith and whom is the guidepost of our faith, which is Jesus Christ, the foundation which no man can lay, which has been laid. Not only do we have a faith that we have the right kind of idea and looking upon Jesus and having the right understanding that we need to remember our faith, but we also need to have the right kind of faith that continually grows. As we go through the story, you will know it very well, but we'll go through it again by God's grace. We see here that faith, that David's faith, I don't think it started with a lion and a bear. I don't believe that we can look at it. You know, so many times we look at these mountains and we think, man, I get over this mountain and we look back at our life and I look over the last several years of ministry and I was talking, someone asked me how things have been going. I said, this last year has been probably one of the hardest years, but it's been one of the most rewarding years. You know, it's been a hard year for my family. Many of you know about my wife and have prayed for my wife, and I thank you for that. Family, we've gone through some family things. We've gone through church things, and primarily we started with 20 people, and of those 20 people, we only have 3 of them left. 2 families of those 20 that we started with. Most of them left this summer, and you hate to see it go, but you see that God, then, though now we're seeing lives being changed. People are getting saved. Baptism waters being stirred. And it's like, okay, this is okay. I had to go so this could happen. But it's not easy. You look at these things, but for those 20 people to leave 7 years ago, it would have been devastating. I'd have been no telling what I would have done. No telling how distraught I've been. But as God has grown me, and as He's grown my wife and I together in the ministry, we've grown. There's some things that now we can handle. I'm so thankful that God made man on the 6th day. That He didn't make him on the 1st day. You know, I tell our folks, I say, just go. And someone's a scientist, and they're all this, and these lines, and how the world evolved and all this. I say, you know, we serve a God that is so precise. And if He would have made us on the 1st day, we would have died. We would have burned up, froze to death, one or the other. It wouldn't have, just that's just the way it would have happened. And so when we look at our life, I'm so glad that when God looked at Adam, He said, I want to create a whole universe just so that he could habitat. I want to make the whole world just so one man can exist. And if that's what he feels about just Adam, just how much he feels about you and me. And how much he loves us. And so many times we forget, we see, you know, it took 5 days of creation before Adam could be put in a place where he could thrive and where he could live and where he could grow, where God could do great things with Adam and God could use him in a great way. So many times we go through some little trials and we go through some little tribulations and we forget the Word of God is just telling us, just stay faithful, just remain faithful, and when it's all said and done, those won't be so big after all. I look back and I see the things that I used to worry about 7 years ago that I, as pastor, I'd worry about, should I get this toilet paper or not? Should I get the extra soft or should I get the double roll? Don't even care about that anymore, amen? You know what I'm talking about? Some of you say, no, it's been too many years ago. I remember, you know, do we use this right kind of cleaner in the bathroom because of the smell? Will people be upset if it's not this smell or that smell? If it just smells good, they're happy, amen? I figured that out. But so many times as we grow and we learn that, see, David didn't start off with a lion and a bear to get to Goliath, but to get to the Goliath, there had to be lions and bears. There had to be things that had to come. We had to have faith that had to be developed, faith that had to go on. And that's what we want to look at is the second thing. We'll spend a little bit of time here. Is the second understanding is having our hands on the right weapon. Having the right weapon is equipped because we have the right thing. You know, the Bible tells faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It worries me sometimes that we as preachers, if we're not careful, we spend more time in other things than the Word of God. Verse number 38 says this, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head, and also he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said in the thought, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. And what we have here is so many times is we have things that are at our disposal, but we just don't know how to use it. Or we try to use things that are at the disposal that we're not worthy to use. You know, I get a lot of flack a lot of times. You know, I don't look like most people, and some say hallelujah, and some say oh me, or whatever. But years ago I shaved my head, and as you notice, obviously, and I tried to do what they call the Baptist preacher comb over. My brother calls it the independent Baptist preacher comb over. But I couldn't get my two hairs to fold around long enough to do it. So I just shaved it up and gave up with it. But you know, you get people that will say, well, you know, if you're going to reach people, your hair's going to be a problem. If I'm trying to reach them like Joel Osteen or somebody else, yes, you're right. But I thought we were using the Word. I thought we were supposed to be preaching the power. I thought we were supposed to be focusing, the main thing is the main thing. The Word is higher than His own name. When have we made other things more the standard? We get so easy we do things if we're not careful. We get so close to it. We try to do things we haven't proved. You know, there's a big movement for years, and it seems like it's something that's kind of walked away from some of that movement of the year, and it's kind of fled into some independent Baptist churches, and we get the latest book, and we get it, and we just... Why don't we just prove this book first? Why don't we try it cover to cover first, and then we'll see about something else? I don't think we'll need anything more. In the heat of battle, we see here there's a couple things that, you know, if I'm going to go fight, some of you know me, many of you do not know me. I love guns. I am proud to be an American. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord I'm American. And I have a gun safe, and I have an assortment of guns in there. And I have no problem with guns. And, I tell my people, if you have a problem with that, it's, you know, I'm sorry, but God's, you know, no. I was going to be honored here, but I won't. But the idea of guns and those things, I'm not a gun collector, I'm not a gun. If you come up here and start blabbing off all kinds of, well, I have a Windage sight of this and that, and blah, 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 I won't know. And you say, well, he really doesn't know guns. I just like guns. Amen? I don't need to know all the special features. All I need to know is point and shoot. Amen? That's all I need to know. That's all that matters. But now, when we look at some things, though, when it looks at different ideas of guns, and they go, let me tell you something, certain guns are good for certain types of warfare. I have a 40 Smith & Wesson 40. Now, some of you know what that is. That's a very nice handgun. It's a magnesium top, stainless bottom. Very nice. Very nice. Stainless top, magnesium bottom. Very lightweight. Very portable. And it's good for about 10, 15 yards, actually, for me. Now, on the other hand, I have what's called an M4. 500 yards. Not a problem. I assume you don't know what I'm talking about. That's an M16, basically what it is. Hallelujah. Beautiful gun. Beautiful gun. God is so good. Anyway, but depending on the warfare, then I have different kind of knives and those type of things. Depending on the warfare, you get the weapon that's going to be the right for the battle. You know, like I said, you don't bring a knife to a gunfight, those type of things. You bring something that is going to be appropriate. Well, so many times pastors grab a hold of something that they haven't proved, that they haven't used, and try to make it work. Let me tell you something. I've tried as a father. I've tried as a husband. I've tried to take, well, this is what he said. That's what she said. That's what they said. And it just didn't work for me. I couldn't figure out why. Because the weapon is not someone else. The weapon is this Word. The weapon is getting in and knowing it. We see here the first thing we understand is verse number 33. Verse number 34. It says, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and I took a lamb out of the flock. So they took a lamb out of the flock, and I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to go have hand-to-hand combat with a lion or a bear. That's what the M16 is for. Amen? That's a 500-yard shot. You know, that's something. That's not a 40 caliber shot. It's not the buck knife shot. You don't want to do these things. But he's telling him. He says, you know, there was a time in my life when there came something that I had to confront hand to hand. Wise, there's something that I had to confront, and there was a specific the involvement that I had to rear up against me, and I had to do what needed to be done. And by God's grace and by God's ability, I was able to defeat it. I mean, I don't know why it is that so many times in ministry, I've said this to preachers, and I said this years ago, and I said, if I ever get an opportunity. When I get the opportunity to speak, especially to older preachers, I said, please don't ever say this statement because it caused me more harm than good. One preacher would say this, that the next preacher that comes after me is going to be more liberal than I am. If it's God's church, it will be what it is. It will not change. Whether I'm on the scene or you're on the scene or not, God is going to be there. He said, well, what is that? What do you Well, the thing that we have here is that as Christians, so many times we'll start off with God in some things, and we'll have some hand-to-hand combat, and we'll get in the argument, the fights, and we'll be able to defeat some adversaries. We'll be able to beat some lions. We'll be able to beat some bears. But the problem is, somewhere along the way, we tend to forget who's doing the work. And it becomes about us instead of about Him. And we begin to start preaching instead of, as I said, preaching the word. You see, David understood. He looked at the weaponry. He looked at his opponent. And he said, you know what? This is going to require something a little different. He said, it's going to require the sniper shot. Hallelujah. Amen. He's not stupid. Wise serpents as harmless as doves. Amen. You should use some brains. God's given us some brains. Hallelujah. He's given us that. Use it. Give it to us so we can use it and do what God would want us to do. But with the guns and these things, though, having the right weapon in your hand is totally ineffective if you don't know how to use one. I have a gun safe. I have several assortment of weapons. I have the 40, which I told you. The one I like the best, I think, besides my M16, I love that. That's a nice weapon. It is. It is. Classical stock, shorter barrel. I mean, I'm going to get a 3-round burst for it somehow. I mean, not that I know how to do it, but, you know. Anyway. I have this gun that I have. It's called a 12-gauge sawed-off pump shotgun. Point and shoot. Amen? Tell my wife, all you got to do, honey, is aim for the middle of the door. That's all you got to do. Double up buck in it, that's all you got to do, honey. We have hurricanes in South Florida. We had a man shot not too far from us for gas. When the hurricanes come, a couple years ago, I carried that in my back seat. It was a sawed-off shotgun underneath the back seat, and I carried my pistol in the front seat. So why? Because we had hundreds of gallons of fuel driving around. I'm not going to get shot for fuel. Silly. But we look at things, and people look at it, and the thing about it is, I told my wife, and I try to explain to my wife to use the gun. My wife is deathly afraid of guns. So you know what I do? I lock them up. Because if my wife grabbed a hold of that gun just in desperation, the only thing will end up happening, she's going to be the one getting hurt. Because that gun will never be used the way that it was supposed to be used. You know what's been heartbreaking for me? I've heard counts, I've talked to people who are of other faiths, and of other beliefs. And they said, you know, I talked to an independent Baptist preacher one time, and I grabbed his Bible, and he couldn't prove me wrong. How can that happen? We grabbed a hold of a gun we didn't know. And all it was a worthless club. And we'll shake it and flaunt it and flail it around, but we don't know how to use it. And we sit here, and we have to understand that our weapon, having the right weapon, is one thing, but we need the right ammunition to go with it. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. See, God's Word gives us the right weaponry to not only handle the hand-to-hand combat, but the long-distance shots as well. Not only we can fight the things that come personally to attack us, but we can also stop the wolf before he ever gets into the door, before the Goliath ever comes across the field. We can stop those charges before they begin. Third thing is this. It says having the right ammunition. Verse number 45. If you turn and look at there, chapter number 17 of Samuel, verse number 45. It says, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the world earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into my hands. Having the right ammunition that goes in those guns understands that, you know what, we know what to preach, not just to preach. Brother Hardy preached a tremendous message last night, challenged it. You know, they said the first message sets the stage, and it truly does. We understand that, you know, we can get up here and I can hoot and holler and sweat and spit and all those things, but you know what? To Goliath, they don't mean anything. They don't stop him. What stops him is when the Lord intervenes. There's no doubt in my mind, you can look at this, I've had people tell me, I've had pastor, professors and those things in college and place tell me these things, and we can look at this and we can look at a sling and the stone. The sling and the stone by themselves are absolutely nothing. They're useless. You put a sling by itself and there's nothing it can do. You put a stone by itself, there's nothing it can do. When you put those two together and you put them in the hands of a trained and someone who has worked with it, someone who has familiarized himself with it, if you put a sling and a stone in my hands, I'll probably end up hitting myself more than I'll hit somebody else. But when you've worked with it and you become one with it and you've learned it, when you're able to get into it, then you can use it effectively. And that's exactly what we see here with David. But see, we have a couple things that we need to understand real quick, and we'll close with this. Now, David, he went to the battle, and the battle was not his to win. The battle was the Lord. Let me tell you something. This is not my church. It's not mine. It wasn't the pastor before me. It wasn't the pastor before him. It wasn't the pastor who started the church. It's not my church. It is his church. The battle that I fight is not my battle. It's God's. The problems that I have in life, I will tell you what the problems that I have in life, ministerially speaking, is because I'm serving God. If I did not serve God, if I didn't preach, if I didn't say, I would not have the types of problems that I have today. Maybe I'd have different problems, don't misunderstand. Yes, I understand the flesh and the sinfulness thereof. But I'm saying the problems that I endure right now, the problems that I deal with day by day, day in and day out with my family, with my wife and my children, with the church that we now pastor and God has allowed us to minister, those problems that I have directly result because of the Lord. I said, you'll suffer offense for my name's sake. That's what's going to happen. You're going to have sufferings and persecutions. I haven't had sufferings and persecutions like the Paul or the early church. We like to act like we do sometimes, but we haven't. I haven't had to fight a Goliath on the field of battle. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something, though. God has fought a lot of Goliaths that I didn't even know about. God has given a lot of battles and defeated a lot of adversaries that I wasn't even aware that they were there. What happens when we have the right ammunition in our hands? What happens when we have the right weapon in our hands? What happens when we're looking to the right one? Well, three things happen, and this is they are. First thing is we have a confidence in our past. We can look back and we don't have... I get this hard as a young preacher now. I realize I've been pastoring some years, and someone looked at me and said, well, that's not so young after all. I didn't realize that. I still thought... I still look at myself. I just got to South Florida yesterday. Been there over 7.5 years. It's time flies. Amen? I forget that I've aged a little, got a little gray or something on those lines, hair's falling off, but put on a little bit of weight anyway. But a confidence in our past, you know, I realized I've learned, and as David, he always says, you know, no matter what the battle is, God's already beat hand on hand. God's already won the battles. If I just do what I've always done, well, what if David, what have you always done? I followed the word of the Lord. That's what I've always done. Well, David, how did you get the battle? How did you win the battle? What was your tactic? What was your hand-to-hand combat? Where did you go for your training? He said, well, I got my training very specifically was the Lord delivered him out of my hand. The Lord delivered him into my hand. The Lord was the one who watched out for me. The Lord was the one who, time and time again, who has been a part of my life. And he says, now, just as the Lord did that, as you see in verse number 37, David said, moreover, the Lord hath that delivered me out of the paw. Let me tell you, David says, I was the one who was going to be the victim. He said, the Lord delivered me out of the paw. So many times we think we had him licked. So many times we think, you know what, as my eloquence of speech, let me say, I stutter. As a young man, I took 5 years of speech therapy. I could not say six slippery, six leo, sit on a slippery, six seashore. I can still not say it. Hallelujah. I am, my mother is taller than me. I am the littlest guy in my family. My mom is 5'11", my dad's 6'3", my brother's 6'4", my mother's 6'1". I am the littlest dude, amen? And I look at me and think, man, why do you want to use me? He said, because you're the dumbest and the littlest, hallelujah. We're going to confound them. Amen. But see, when you look at the past, you look and say, you know, I was in the hand of the lion, he says in verse 37. He delivered me out of the hand of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He says, I realized that I was already defeated and God gave me the victory. God, Christians understand, God, we have been already defeated. We were defeated by the power of sin. But on August 17, 1989, in a youth camp in North Carolina, I called upon Jesus and He won. Hallelujah. He pulled me out of the devil's hand. Now the gates of hell shall not prevail. Hallelujah. He says, I pulled you out. I've saved you from this. You know what? You should have some confidence. I hate... Oh, it burns me, these pastors. Oh, every Monday I want to resign. Just resign and do us all a favor. And quit saying it. I think it's a privilege to be a pastor. It's not easy, folks. It's not easy. And I you guys have been pastoring for years and years. It's not easy. I'm preaching. I'm telling you, you're my church congregation. I'm preaching that way, okay? So I'm just trying to think that way. But let me tell you something. We don't resign. We don't get out of it. We keep going forward. Why? Because of the confidence we have in our past. If you can, the greatest miracle that we could ever witness is the salvation of one soul. And it's the greatest miracle you and I could ever see on this earth. And seeing that, knowing it firsthand, why do we doubt God? Why do we doubt His Word? Why do we doubt what He's given us? Why do we go to this book and go to that book and get the mirror out and look for the champion? Amen? Why do we do that? Because we've lost confidence somewhere in our past. Because God has not failed us. I don't know about you, God's never failed me. His Word has never failed me. We have confidence in our past. Second thing is this, we have an assurance for our present. I love the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew. Did you notice that Jesus Christ did something that changed all of Jewish customs? Jewish customs, and you know this better than I do. Many of you say, well, I can give you the... You all probably can do it, and it's fine. I'm not going to be arrogant, so I want... If you can help me with insight on Jewish customs, I'll take it. But from my understanding, they pray after they eat, thanking God for what He has given them and all those things like that. If you see, though, Jesus Christ, when He took those little loaves and those little bread, what He did is He said, He gave thanks, He blessed it, then He broke it. He said, God, this is all we've got, but we know You're going to meet the need. It is easy to bless God after our belly's full. It is. I can look back in my life and say, whew, thank You, Lord, for what You had done. But it's not as easy to thank God before it even begins. And Jesus Christ shows us, He says, I'm going to bless it, thanking God for how He has provided. A couple of loaves, a couple of fish. They don't know how the story ends out. Breaks it, blesses it, hands it out, and then from that, 5,000 lives, but there's an assurance for our presence, folks. So what it shows us is this, that I have an assurance that as long as I stand upon the Word of God, which doesn't move, which doesn't change, and I preach the truth, I have an assurance for the future, right now. It will work. But Isaiah says, my Word will not come back void. Hallelujah, that's the case. People say, well, why do we do this canvas? We go and we put canvas every week. We go out and put tracks on doors. We put the plan of salvation on it. People say, preacher, why do we do that? Because God says His Word will not come back void. And I know in my past, the Word worked. And I know that if I had that assurance, I had that confidence for my past, I have assurance for my future, present, that God will provide. And God will do that. Well, how do we know that? Because it all hinges on what God has done. I don't know why pastors who were once solid men in the faith have now helped lead in and usher in things that should not be. Confidence in our past, assurance for our presence, then we have hope for our future. Hallelujah. I'll tell you something, Jesus is coming. Hallelujah, He's coming. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I'm looking forward to Jesus coming. If it was today, it'd be whoo. But there's still a whole lot to get done still. Harvest field is white in the harvest. It needs to be. We need laborers. A year and a half ago, God changed my heart on how I pray. I used to pray for the harvest. Now God said, no, pray for laborers. I've been praying for laborers. I didn't realize that. I know you say, oh, you've been, I'm still learning, hallelujah. I saw that about breaking the bread about a month and a half, 2 months ago. I said, man, how are we, Lord? We have assurance for today. That, you know, we don't know what today holds, but God does, and He's going to meet the needs. David, let me tell you, David did not know that Goliath would fall. He didn't know how the story ends, but he knew his God. And he knew, if I stand upon the Word of God, if I do what God told me to do, I have no way but to succeed. There is no other. Failure is not the option. And so many times we look at things and we second guess it, and as a result, we're not wholly leaning upon the Word of God. and staying preaching firmly upon the power thereof. One writer said this about Goliath, or about David. He said David could have took that sling, if Goliath was standing directly in front of him, took that sling and thrown it behind him, that David's faith was so strong that he knew that it was all up to God, that as soon as that stone was released from that sling, that it would redirect itself and squarely hit Goliath, right square in the middle of the head, and kill him dead. Let me tell you, is that the kind of faith that we have? Is that the kind of confidence that we have in our Lord? Say something. I believe that the power of this word is so... I'm going to say something. Remember, you're at my home church. I'm pretending like you're my people. Satan himself could preach the Gospel of John and lives would get changed and people would be saved. That's how powerful this book is. It's not us. It's not us. It's this. What a testimony we have from David. He says, it's not me. It's not some little boy full of naughtiness in his heart. It's some guy who knows God can do anything. Hallelujah. I look at you today and I say, man, I tell you, if there's any proof to say God can do anything, I'm proof God can do anything. You can take a drunk man that was all kinds of my whole life history. Terrible husband. Hallelujah. God can do anything. Amen. God can do anything. Heavenly Father, love you. We thank you for the power that you have. The confidence and assurance and the hope that we know that we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us now, and then God, that you just do the service, the remainder, and the other preachers, Lord, we pray, just you just move in a mighty way. And God's appreciate the holy name we ask. Amen.